this morning's gospel passage, we hear the words of Christ with regards to his second coming. And he illustrates quite vividly that there will be signs both in the heavens and on the earth. Indeed, all of creation will manifest these signs, because Christ is in all things. He holds all things together. As the Gospel of John reads, all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. The planets, the stars in the sky, the sun and moon, all will reflect the glory of his coming, and likewise all things on the earth. Nothing will be absent of reflecting the great majesty of his coming. As Christ mentions, seas will roar, and men's hearts will fail them out of fear. In the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For even the powers of heaven will be shaken. And when all of this comes to pass, they, meaning the whole world, those who are Christ's beloved disciples and those that are not, they all will behold the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. And what does Christ say that we are to do when all of this comes to pass? What were the instructions that he leaves us by way of this morning's gospel? For those of us that are in Christ, the action on our part is very simple. As verse 28 reads, "Now when all these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." You see, it's such a simple command. Look up. There's no getting things ready or getting them in order. And honestly, we wouldn't have time to do so if we were to try to prepare for his coming. For it will be like lightning, as both the Gospelers, Luke and Matthew, declare. "You who have placed yourself beneath the things of the earth, you who have sacrificed the pursuits of this world for the pursuit of Christ, you who have given to the poor, remain steadfast in prayer, and profess the truth of Christ to the world. Look up, for your work is now complete. The time for toiling against the things of the earth is now past. Orient yourselves to the heavens, because your redemption is at hand." And so, we are to live out our lives in great anticipation of Christ's coming, remaining in him in all things that we do. But why? Why is this particular gospel passage, which foretells the second coming of our Lord, why is it read on this Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, where we as a church prepare for his first arrival, his holy and yet humble entrance into the world by way of his birth? The answer lies in the reason for his coming. Why did he take on our flesh? Why did he humble himself before all things in the created order, which he himself made and formed? Why did Jesus Christ, who fashioned the universe and placed the countless stars in the sky, why did he become man? Now those of you who have seen the film, The Passion of the Christ, you've already been privy to what I'm going to give as our answer. And if you remember, there's a moment in the movie when Jesus is carrying his cross and he falls for the first time. The weight of the cross comes crushing down upon his head. And as the brutal soldiery proceeds to whip him as he still lay on the ground, his holy mother comes rushing to his aid, as she no doubt did countless times before when he would fall or encounter scrapes and bruises throughout his youth. And embracing him as he struggles to return to his feet, she calls to him, "I'm here. I'm here." And Jesus, now almost to his feet, turns his head towards his mother's embrace and says, "See, Mother, I make all things new." And this, my friends, is the answer to Christ's coming into the world. He came to make all things new. And yes, even in this season of Advent, we cannot and we must not forget the atoning work of Christ's passion, which is the finishing touch to his masterful work of salvation. Through the sin of Adam, all things had been spoiled. But through Christ, all that was rotten, all that lay perishing, is now made new. This is why we as a church refer to Christ as being the new Adam, the new man, in place of the old man that had been spoiled by the wages of sin. We, therefore, who believe in Christ, are a new creation because of him. No longer are we descendants of Adam, the old man. We are children of the new man, who is Jesus Christ. And knowing this to be true, how are we to respond? Now for this, we look to the words of Paul, which are taken from this morning's epistle. As it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." What is it that Paul is instructing us to do? Isn't he imploring us to discard the things and affairs that belong to the world? Those things that came by way of Adam, the first man. But what are we to do? Put on the new man. He who would not succumb to the temptations of the flesh, for those things are indelibly beneath him. And likewise are those things also beneath us as new men and new women in Christ. Most of us, if not all, either willingly or eventually are forced to try new things, aren't we? It's a product of the ever-changing technological times in which we live. Whether it be a new car, a new toy or a new gadget, maybe a new TV, but perhaps it's much more basic and practical than that. New clothes and food. And once we get these new things, we like to show them off, don't we? We like to brag a little, even if it's in the most humble of ways. When you go to a new restaurant and the food is excellent and left you full and completely content, quite usually our next response is to go and tell others about it. Get the word out. Go to this place. They have the best such and such. Or, oh, you mean you haven't been to the latest steakhouse or seafood buffet? You have to go. You don't know what you're missing. How many times have we said it? How many times have we said these words or something of that variation? And it usually doesn't matter who we tell, does it? We'll tell anybody, friends, family, if it were to come up even in a random conversation. We don't discriminate against those whom we tell, do we? Why then do we neglect to tell these same people about a much greater banquet that awaits? A banquet which will never leave us hungry, which will always satisfy. Why are we so forgetful, or perhaps too shy, to tell others about the church? The divine liturgy is almost 2,000 years old, and yet there are aspects of it that make it new each time we come together to partake of the precious body and blood of Christ. The Eucharist renews our hearts each time we partake of it. We are reminded that we have been made new by the body and blood of the Lamb that was slain for our salvation. Each time we taste of the Eucharist, we affirm our kinship as new people, people of redemption, through Jesus Christ, who is the new man. If this is what we truly affirm and believe, why then are we not exhausting ourselves to proclaim it to this perishing world? This world that, as Paul reminds us, that lives in the works of darkness. We have been made new by the light of Christ, but much of this world still lives in the shadow of Adam. We are called to bring them into the light, so that they too may put on the new man and live as a new creation in Christ. This is the ministry of the church. This is our ministry, to follow in the footsteps of Christ and with His help make all things new. And so as we prepare our hearts for the nativity of Christ throughout this season of Advent, as we begin to fast, as we look for additional strength in our prayers, let us follow the words of Christ and lift up our heads to the cross, the instrument by which all things are made new, whereby we have our adoption as new people. And remember that through it all, that Christ is coming, and indeed has come, to restore what once was lost, to make new what was once old and dying, and to bring redemption to all who believe in Him. Let us always remember that we have been made new in Christ, and may what has now been made new never perish. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.